Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is David Benjamin Citroen here on Transform Your Life in 60 Minutes. This is an opportunity for you to completely change your life if you allow yourself to fully interact with this 60 Minutes. So I'm asking you now to get out a pen and paper. Get a pen and paper out for the simple reason that the more you interact as you're listening, the more you're going to take away from this. When people write down as they're listening, they remember four times as much. So there's going to be a few different exercises as we go along. I'm going to mention a few different things that will really, really help you if you're writing them down and if you use them directly with your life. So we want you to take a few notes as you go along. Okay, we're going to start with a little story. There once was a man who wanted to succeed. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to succeed in lots of different ways. Health. He wanted relationships. He wanted wealth. He wanted it all. And one day he heard of a man, an old man, a guru, a success guru who could make it all happen for him. He had heard this guy had changed people's lives in such a short amount of time. And he wanted to know this guy. So he went and he connected with the guy and he said, "Old man, please, please make me a success. Help me." So the old man said, "Okay, listen, Sonny, we can meet tomorrow at 4 a.m. at the beach and I'll make you a success." So the guy's like, "What? 4 a.m.? All right, fine." So he gets up at 4 a.m. He gets down to the beach. He's wearing a suit and tie. He's all ready to be a successful multimillionaire. And suddenly the old man appears and the old man waves for him to go towards the water. And the guy says, "What?" And he waves for him to go towards the water and wade into the water just a little bit. And the guy is, you know, a little taken aback. He's in a suit. "What are you doing to me?" He says, "What are you doing, old man? I just want you to mentor me, talk to me. I mean, let's write things down. Let's talk this out. Let's strategize. Come on, business plan." So the old man says, no, come along. And he wades into the water, and the guy's, you know, got the water up to his waist and his shoulders. And he goes, "Look, listen, old man, this is ridiculous. This is mad. What are we doing here? I'm going back." And before he could go back, the old man grabbed his head and dunked him down into the water. And the guy's flailing his arms up in the air. And suddenly he comes up after a minute. And the guy goes, what are you doing? And the old man said, "What was it that you most wanted to do when you were down there?" And the guy goes, "Breathe." And the guru says, "When you want to succeed as much as you want to breathe, that's when you'll succeed. Passion is the root of success. Success in all areas. And you've got to be passionate. You've got to want to change. Because let's face it, it's not easy out there. Life is difficult. There's a lot of different trials and tribulations as we go along. And they're gradually revealed to us. So we have to have something that's going to drive us forward. Steve Jobs was interviewed, and in that interview he said, you know, the reason why, you know, people always talk about passion being crucial for moving forward in business is because business is difficult, business is tough, and if you aren't passionate, you're going to give up because there's going to be an obstacle here, there, and everywhere. We're going to take a look at a few of those obstacles as we go along this 60 minutes. But passion is the root of it all. You've got to have a why. And if the why is big enough, the how will be easy. Write that down. If the why is big enough, the how will be easy. If you've got enough of a drive, if you've got enough of a push forward, then it doesn't matter what comes along. You'll find a way. You'll find a way. You'll find a way to be resourceful. Yeah, you'll find it within the depths of you. And that's been found in all sorts of areas. There was a man called Viktor Frankl who was a Holocaust survivor. He was a psychologist in the Holocaust, in the camps. And in his time in the camps, he was under severe pressure, physical stress, emotional, all sorts of torture, and he wanted to know how to best get through it. So he studied the people around him, and as he studied the people around him, he noticed that people were either going up or down. Intense situations polarize people. And he noticed that either people were becoming incredible heroes to the people around them, or they were becoming absolute animals, stealing and taking food from other inmates, etc., and causing all sorts of problems. And he wanted to know, what is the root of the difference between these two people? So he did what psychologists will do, and he'll interview people. He started interviewing people, and he found that the difference was all around one factor: whether or not those people had meaning in their life, whether they had a why. Whether they had a why to live for, something to go for that would drive them forward, moving them forward above and beyond their situation. That why could be anything. That why could be God. That why could be religion. It could be the wish to tell the tale of what happened in the Holocaust. It could be a slight possibility that a relative is out there that they'll need to care for, their wife, their daughter, that someday maybe this horror would end, and possibly just a slight possibility that their relation might be out there and that they would need to be surviving both physically and mentally in order to take care of that person. So they had a deep, deep why, a real deep why as to what it was that would take them up rather than down. And I've got a funny question for you. What's the connection between Susan Boyle and Mike Tyson? And we've made a sudden change here, but Susan Boyle and Mike Tyson, what's the connection between the two of them? I'm going to say it's down to this same question of whether you've got a why or not. Mike Tyson was originally seen as indestructible. He was the most phenomenal boxer, and everyone was scared of him. He was Iron Mike Tyson. No one touches Mike Tyson, yeah? No one wanted to get in the ring with him, but some people did, and they got knocked out very swiftly. And people compared him to Muhammad Ali and all the greats, and some said that he could have knocked out any of them. But then this guy, Buster Douglas, comes along. Now, Buster Douglas was a nobody. He had no chance. No one saw it coming whatsoever. Buster Douglas was absolutely underrated. And what happens? Lo and behold, he knocks out Mike Tyson. And people just wanted to know what was going on. How did it happen? But there were a few interviews afterwards which gave it away. When Buster Douglas was asked how did he manage to knock out Mike Tyson, he revealed something very, very personal. His mother had passed away 2 days before the fight. 2 days before the fight, his mum passes away, and he manages to knock out the biggest heavyweight in the world. And most people would be an emotional wreck. But he revealed that just before she died, he promised her that he would knock Mike Tyson out. That promise gave him the why. You can overcome any obstacle if you've got a why. If you've got a why to live, you can bear almost any how. You can find the how. You'll find your way. Same thing with Susan Boyle. That's the connection. Susan Boyle refrained from getting up on Britain's Got Talent for years. For a couple of years before she actually got up. And her mother kept saying to her, oh, hold on a second, you've got to do it. You've got to go for it. you've got an incredible voice. But she was too scared. She was scared of Simon Cowell and all those sort of nasty comments that could come her way. And what she found that got her there was, unfortunately, the same scenario as Buster Douglas. Her mother passed away. Suddenly she had a why. Her mother's biggest wish was that she would go and live up to her potential. And so she went out there, and we all know what happened. She lived her dream. So when the why is strong enough, the how is easy. So if that's the case, then we need to spend a long time looking at getting our whys, moving forward. And you know what? This is where I find that clients that I've worked with have fallen down. Generally, people are trying to work out the how. How do I get here? What do I do? And that's fine. That's great. We need to spend some time working on the how. We need to spend some time working on the what, the where, how to move forward, relationships, whether it's business, whatever. But people are not spending enough time on this central engine of the human being, of the human spirit, which is why. You've got to have a why to drive you forward. So how do you go about that? Well, there is a part of the human mind which is there purely to create success for you. It's there in order to bring success into your life. You could call it the success lobe, although it's not really a lobe. It's the part of the basal ganglia called the reticular activating system, the RAS. And the RAS is something which gets obsessed about things. It gets obsessed and drives you forward. And it's this part of the brain which acts kind of like an email filter. If you tell it what to do, it will filter out all of the things which aren't important to you. And the RAS is unfortunately, and I see it quite a lot, is unfortunately hijacked a lot of the time by what we know as addictions. Addictions to all sorts of things, alcohol, gambling, you name it. As soon as people start training their RAS to move towards various different addictions, the RAS just gets a hold of it and obsesses about it. But the truth is, that part of the brain was never meant to cause people's downfall. That part of the brain, ironically, is the very same part of the brain that will cause you to rise up and achieve your success. And it does that through the same mechanism, by getting obsessed. By getting obsessed with particular goals which you're going for. But the truth is, you've got to train it with those goals. You have to train it to get obsessed about various goals which are wholesome, various goals which move you forward, various goals which are long-term good for you. And you've got to decide what those goals are. Now, you might say to me, well, look, Citroen, there's motivated people in the world and there's lazy people in the world. But, you know, I'm a lazy person. I know what I want, and, you know, I've got my various things that keep me going. But I'm not prepared to move forward. So I don't believe in motivated people or lazy people. I believe that there are motivating goals. And when you take a motivating goal and you plug it into someone, or someone plugs it into themselves, they choose it, they design it. A proper motivating goal will drive you forward. A proper motivating goal will use the RAS and will get you where you want to go. So what are these motivating goals and how do they work? Well, any motivating goal needs to be three things. Sir, S, I, and R. They need to be specific, inspiring, and realistic. Before we get into the whys of specific, inspiring, and realistic, let's just take a look at how this is going to work. There's something which is called the success cycle. And this is talked about in various coaching circles, and Tony Robbins, various different people talk about this cycle. Essentially, it's down to three different areas, three different parts of the cycle. You've got your self-belief, you've got your actions, and you've got your results. And it moves in that direction, self-belief, actions, results, self-belief, actions, results, self-belief, actions, results. Now, what's the logical place to start? The logical place to start would be, in most people's opinion, either self-belief or actions. But let's say self-belief, because the self-belief comes before the action. If you haven't got any self-belief, you're not going to take any action. It certainly wouldn't be results. So most people choose to start at their self-belief, and because they've got no results yet, they have mediocre self-belief, and as a result of that, they take mediocre action. And guess what mediocre action leads to? Mediocre action leads to mediocre results. And mediocre results are what most people are getting most of the time. I'm going to be bold and brave and say that. I don't believe that most people are successful. And I would define success as living up to nearly their potential. It's a tough thing to do, but it's all down, or a huge amount of it is down to where people start on this cycle. Most people are starting at that logical place. They start at the self-belief, they get mediocre self-belief, mediocre action, mediocre results. But in order to be successful, you need to be illogical. You need to start with your results. And you might ask me, well, how can you start with your results? You don't have any results. What are you talking about, Citroen? Well, you've got to start with some results that are in your mind. And the mind is a wonderful thing, because the truth is we don't actually live in the world. We live in our minds. And the evidence for that is all around us. Have you ever had a dream where you sort of weren't quite sure, did it happen or did it not happen? Have you ever experienced something, or, you know, some people have this experience where they've seen a photo and then they thought that they were at that place, but then a sibling tells them actually no, they weren't at that place, because it was just because they saw the photo, they imagined that they were at that place. The truth is that we live in our minds. Our memories are in our mind. And when you create a memory in your mind of where you, what you want, yeah, the goal that you want, and experience it in advance, that causes you to have a huge surge in self-belief. And that huge surge in self-belief causes massive action, and massive action creates massive results. I see this when I train people in public speaking, and when they first start, they might be 3 out of 10 in terms of their ability to speak in public, and a lot of that is down to the confidence, but also to do with skills. And then we take a look at a few skills, and what we do is we get them to model after a good, great public speaker, Michael McIntyre or whoever, someone, Barack Obama, and they model after that person, and then they think, well, I'd like those skills, but it's not quite me. And then an incredible thing happens. We get them to experience their results in advance. Experience being an incredible, dynamic, powerful, inspirational speaker. And guess what happens? They suddenly surge in terms of their ability in public speaking. Most people only gradually get better and better and better in their public speaking because they're basing their confidence and their skills on their last time, their last real memory. They don't bother to do the experiencing in advance. Or even worse than that, they experience themselves mucking up in advance. So that creates the opposite effect of this. So what we're talking about is experiencing your results in advance, creating massive self-belief, leading to massive action and massive results. And this also works with the RAS in that you're also feeding an addiction. You're feeding an addiction to the pleasure of that final result. Who doesn't want to be an amazing public speaker? Who doesn't want to experience, have that incredible taste of that final fruit of whatever it is that you're going for? And that creates an addiction to that pleasure, and it's a wholesome pleasure because this time you've chosen it as opposed to it being some sort of bad addiction. And we use the power of addiction to drive you forward and to move you through that cycle in the correct way. And that boosts your ability to take on massive action and get those massive results. So great. We've got this idea of the success cycle, but what is that? But what is that idea of a motivating goal? The type of goal that will be perfect to plug into that system, to experience that perfect kind of result that is going to get you there. You see, not all results are going to get you there. In fact, there was a study done just recently which completely blows a lot of this out of the water. This study was done in Germany, and it was about how when people fantasize about, achievements and goals, yeah, and they fantasize about these huge, lofty goals, they generally end up less motivated long-term than they were before. And if you look at that study, you'll find that the problem is in the type of goal that people are using. So what we need is goals which are specific, inspiring, and realistic. And the truth is, if you miss any one of these keys of a motivating goal, you will end up in problems. So we need to define specific, inspiring, and realistic. Let's talk about specific first of all. Imagine you're, and just ask yourself now, like, how hungry you are, okay? 0 to 10. I'm very into my 0 to 10. 0 to 10, how hungry are you right now? And let's say, I can't hear your answer, but let's say you say you're 3 out of 10. You've just had supper, you're not that hungry. Okay, so if I say to you, food, 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 that's not really going to push it up very much. But if I said to you, think of your favorite food, the food that you absolutely love, and you think of pizza or whatever it is, then, or your steak and chips, whatever it is, a food, and then you think, oh, from the best restaurant, and you focus on it, and you can almost smell it, yeah, and you really focus on that very, very specific goal, then that's going to surge your hunger up further than just saying food, food, food. Even if you're not that hungry, it generally has that effect. And I've tried this with many, many, many people. And the way that it affects your hunger on a physical level is the same as general desire and motivation on a psychological level. Because when people have a specific goal, they achieve far more. There was a study done in 1953. With the final year of Yale University, Yale Business School. And they had a question for these final year students. They said to them, which of you have specific goals? Specific goals. And they had various different stipulations of what a specific goal was. What are your specific business goals? And it turned out that only 3% of the Yale University students had specific goals. And they followed those people up, the entire year up, 20 years later, 1973, and they found a remarkable thing. They found that the 3% had earned more than the 97% put together. And that shows a remarkable thing, something very powerful about having specific goals. And I see that with clients as well. I've worked with people who are aiming for all sorts of different things. But one of the things is losing weight. And when they are working, in a way which, is quite often used, they're trying to avoid a food. They're trying to avoid food. So they make a list of various foods they're trying to avoid. Then there's a problem. But when they make a very specific goal, a very specific plan of what it is that they can eat, and they start moving towards food instead of away from food, then massive things start to happen. You start moving towards your goals, then you're going to start achieving them. But if you're moving away, you're just saying, oh, I can't stand my life, I just don't like this and I don't like that, then there's going to be problems. You've got to create a very specific goal that you can move towards. Inspiring. It needs to be specific, inspiring, and realistic, we said. It has to be specific, inspiring, and realistic. So inspiring, let's talk about inspiring. Inspiring is something that a lot of people don't like to go near. They don't like to create inspiring goals for themselves. And the reason is because, well, a lot of the reasons are to do with failure. They would prefer to aim low and hit most of the time than aiming high and missing quite often. So the problem with that is that you're, well, in the words of Coldplay, but if you never try, you'll never know just what you're worth. You're never going to know what you're worth if you're never aiming high. You're never going to know what you could have done. You'll never know how far you could go. And you've got to aim high. You've got to have that ambition in order to excite you, in order to get the RAS moving, and in order to change your life. So better to aim high and sometimes miss than aim low and always hit. And the final part of it is realistic. Realistic. We need to make it realistic. It's all very well aiming high and, you know, creating. But remember the German study. It's got to be realistic. It's got to be something which you can see is achievable. And in order to help you along with that, I suggest that when you're making any sort of a long-term goal, you also need to create baby steps towards it. And that's crucial. A massive example of this is a film which was created, a documentary about some guys who tried to get to the top of a mountain in Peru. It's called Touching the Void. Fantastic documentary. And this mountain in Peru was never scaled before. And they managed to do it, these two guys. And what happened was, you see, the problem with it is that, most accidents actually don't happen on the way up. So it's all very well, they got up, but that was less than half of the journey. The problem was coming down. Most accidents in mountaineering happen on the way down. And unfortunately, a third of the way down, one of the guy's legs broke. He slipped, he cracked his leg, and he was in big, big trouble. Now, the chances of them coming down were slim. The chances of them both, one of them making it to the bottom now. Remember, these two guys are tied together. That's how they do this sort of thing. So the chances of one of them making it down are slim. Both of them, impossible. So for the time being, one of them started lowering the other one down about 100 feet at a time. And each guy was connected to the other, and the guy's lowering the other one down. And the way that they organized it was that when one of them hit, when the guy with the broken leg hit a ledge, 100 feet down or on the way down, he'd give a tug on the rope, and then they would move on and move on and so forth. But they were just coming over a ledge, a very icy ledge, and the wind was blasting the guy who was lowering his friend down. And he was lowering and lowering and lowering, and that was the end of the rope. There was no more rope to lower him down with, and there was no tug. What would you do in that situation? This guy held on for about an hour and a half, but he had no choice in the end. He was slipping and slipping and slipping off the slope. In the end, he decided to cut the rope. And the guilt he felt was huge. He came down and looked over the ledge. He couldn't see anything except a massive crevasse, miles long, icy crevasse. and he just felt so guilty and he felt horrible. He just killed his friend who was relying upon him. And he got to the bottom still feeling guilty and decided to stay there, just set up tent at the base camp and stayed there for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. The guy suddenly hears his friend's voice. His friend had made it all the way down the mountain. How did he do it? Well, interviewed, the guy said he made it to the bottom of the mountain by doing one very simple thing. The first 2.5 days, he lost all hope. He cried. He couldn't move. He couldn't move himself whatsoever. He was in a complete rut. He was completely stuck. And suddenly he realized that he was getting nowhere. He was dying. In fact, he had almost made the decision to die. And he decided he could only do this by doing one simple thing. He needed to make things into baby steps. So he made a small goal for himself. He just had to make it 20 feet away, and he gradually pulled himself to that place. And then another 20 feet, and then another 20 feet. This is a guy who's completely lost. You know, he's lost so much weight, he's dehydrated, he made it all the way to the bottom, purely by breaking things down into achievable, realistic goals. So we need this oscillation between short-term goals and long-term goals. Long-term goals are going to inspire you, but they're also going to overwhelm you. They're also going to make you scared. That same excitement is going to make you scared, and if it's in any way inspiring. So you need to oscillate. You have to move back to the short-term goal. Now, short-term goals are boring, aren't they? Because they're just like little things, a baby step. But they're realistic. They ground you. But if you spend too long just thinking about a short-term goal and that's all that you're going to look at, then you're going to get bored by that. You need to oscillate back to the long-term goal and move back and forward and back and forward according to how you're feeling emotionally. So let's sum it all up. Specific, inspiring, and realistic. You've got to have a specific, inspiring, realistic goal. Plug it in to your success cycle. Let's get that result. Let's experience that result in advance. Once you've got that, then you're in for a real treat. Once more, it's got to be specific. When you put in a specific goal with a GPS, that's when the GPS starts finding the how to get there. Okay, coming back to the why and the how. This goal is your why. Let's just work a little bit more on making the goal inspiring. You've got to dig deep to get this goal moving for you. So what I'd advise you to do is pick your goal, but don't just pick it. Make a list of reasons why you want the goal. List off as many reasons as you possibly can, and then go through them. Go through those 10, 15 reasons, whatever they are, and start prioritizing them by which ones are emotionally affecting you the most. Which ones are really making you feel like you want this, like you're prepared to do almost anything for it? Prioritize them and then take a card and put the top 5 on that card. Now, that card is going to be used in our next stage. So we've talked about the why. We've talked about SIR. But now you've got to advertise these goals to yourself. You know, it's all very well to experience the goal in advance. So you can literally imagine, visualize, and see yourself getting that goal. You've made sure it's specific, inspiring, realistic. You can see that it's in front of you. You step inside it and experience yourself being in that place. And that's inspiring. That's very exciting. Great. Lovely. But you might say to me, well, that's great now. You know, I've got a bit inspired. Lovely, Citrin. But, you know, when I get back down to the hard task of working, you know, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, nitty gritty, how am I going to keep it going? How do I keep that motivation going? And I'll say to you, Coca-Cola. You say, what? I say, Coca-Cola. You say, what? Like, I drink lots of Coca-Cola, lots of caffeine, gets me going. No. Coca-Cola are the kings of advertising. They are the kings of advertising. They send so much advertising to you. Now, do you know that Coca-Cola exists? Yes. Do you know where to buy Coke? Yes. Do you know what it tastes like? Yes. Do you know how much it costs, etc.? Yes, yes, you know all this, but Coke still advertised you. Why do they do it? Well, because they know that there's a lot of distractions out there. Life is full of distractions, and they want to be top of your list. So they keep advertising to you again and again and again and again and again. And when they advertise to you again and again, they create that momentum for you to actually choose them over anything else, over water, 7-Up, Fanta, whatever it is that's out there. You are more motivated to go and get that Coca-Cola because they've pounded you with advertisements. Now, Coke spend billions getting into your mind. You get to do it for free. You get to run internal advertisements the whole time. You are the Spielberg of your mind. And whatever you fill your mind about, whatever you fill your mind with, you will move towards. If you advertise your goal to yourself, you'll move towards that. There's a very fundamental statement about success, and it's been observed by coaches for the last century. And it essentially comes down to this. We become what we think about all day long. We become what we think about all day long. If you're just going to take one note down, take that down. We become what we think about all day long. The more we think about something, the more we're driven towards that thing. The more we move towards it, or we move and we gravitate towards that thing, we create that thing in our lives. You know, there was a study done which involved 350,000 people across 22 years by Dr. Martin Seligman. And it was commissioned by a bunch of companies that wanted to know, what is it that creates success with people? What are people who are successful thinking about? What are people, and the way that they defined success in this study was a number of different things. It involved finance, it involved happiness, etc. And what they found was a huge distinction between the people in the top 10% and the people in the bottom 10%. The people in the top 10% were thinking about what they wanted to achieve and how to get there. If you want to know what it is that you've got to fill your mind with, that's it. What they want to achieve and how to get there. That was what they were thinking about most of the time. And of course, there's people in a spectrum in between. And then the people in the bottom 10% were thinking about what's wrong with my life and who's to blame. Can you see the difference in empowerment? What's wrong with my life and who's to blame? So let me ask you a question. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? How much time do you spend on either side? And you're probably somewhere in the 80% in between. But don't you want to be further up? Don't you want to be in that top 10%? What is it that you've got to let go of in order that you can fill your mind with things which are going to start making actual change for you? What is it that you are going to fill your mind with? The images, the sounds, the smells, that goal that you want, that specific, inspiring, and realistic goal, what is it that you're going to advertise to yourself day in, day out until you get it? I've got an approach which is very special, and I would love you to do it. People in my practice who've used this approach, that I haven't seen one person who has done this approach properly that hasn't radically changed their life. And it's called the 30-day challenge. The 30-day challenge is very, very simple. The 30-day challenge is you take a notebook And on page one of the notebook, you write out seven goals that you want in your life, specific, inspiring, and realistic goals. Vet these goals. Look through them. Make sure they tick all three of these keys, specific, inspiring, and realistic. You've got to make sure that it's all three of those. And go through the seven goals. And try and create seven goals which are going to be holistic. They're going to be connected with all different sides of your life. We don't want just a success in one area of your life. We all know what happens when people only get rich, or, you know, they only work on, you know, the physical side, whatever it is that they're aiming for. We need to have a holistic approach to this. So bring in all aspects of yourself into these seven goals as best as possible, a nice balanced seven goals for yourself. 30-day challenges like this. You write down the seven goals every day, and you write them down in a very special way. Most people write down goals, well, let's take money, right? I will have, you know, £500,000 in my bank account, whatever. Instead of writing that down, you write past tense. I have £500,000 in my bank account. Whatever the aim is, the goal is, I am financially independent. I have a wonderful relationship with my wife. I have a fantastic level of fitness which involves me doing, you know, 20 lengths or 40 lengths or whatever it is in a certain amount of time. I have run the marathon. Whatever your goal is, be specific, inspiring, and realistic. But write it in the past tense or the present tense. I am. You might have a character trait that you want for yourself. Yeah? I am calm and confident in such and such a situation. Create those goals for yourself. And each day you're writing them down in that way. Why? Why are you writing them down in that way? Well, it comes back to the RAS. It comes back to the success cycle, the idea that we need to experience our results in advance in order to push us and propel us forward. And each day you write down these seven goals, but you're not looking. So day two, you write down the seven goals, and you're not looking at the previous day. Otherwise, it just becomes a rote activity. We don't want to do that. We want your heart to train your mind how to live. We want your passion and excitement about life to come through, and we want that to dictate what the RAS obsesses about and drives you forward towards. 30-day challenge, every single day writing down your goals. Now, you might say to me, well, I'll be writing down the same goals every day, won't I? Well, no, people change, things change, different ideas come up in your head. But you're going to see patterns. Some days the goals will be the exact same. Some days they'll be a bit different. Some days they'll be completely different. But you're going to see patterns of what's really important in your life. What do you really care about? Because a lot of people are running in two or three or four directions at once. And if you're running in all those directions at once, you're not going to move anywhere. So you've got to see the patterns in your life. You've got to see what it is that you really want. And in order to do that, you need to see yourself over time. And you need to train your RAS over time. And guess what? You finish the 30-day challenge, and it's working for you, and it will work for you. You're going to want to do this again and again and again and again. So advertise to yourself every day. Advertise to yourself. And there's a lot of other different ways of doing this. There's the 30-day challenge, so writing down every day, you've got your notebook. And there's another way, which is much more physical. Another way, which is actually celebrating physically your results in advance. You might say, well, that's crazy. But I'll tell you, let's imagine I got you to jump up and down now like you'd won the lottery. Now, that's clearly not one of our goals. It doesn't quite tick specific, inspiring, and realistic. It doesn't tick the realistic so well, so that's going to be one of those fantasy things. Yes, people win, but, you know, let's make these things probable. But I get you to jump up and down like you've just won the lottery, and you get really, really, you know, into it, and you're jumping and you're screaming, and you're a really good actor, and you just get into it fully and you throw yourself into it. And I say, be depressed when you're doing that. it's going to be near impossible for you to be depressed while you're doing it, even though you don't have the money in front of you and you haven't actually won the lottery. The fact that your body is moving and you're getting excited, yeah, that is causing your mind to fully experience the results in advance. And this is powerful, really, really powerful. And it creates the actual experience far more deeply. I've worked with, for instance, students who want to achieve certain goals, and their motivation might go up by, it might go up from 5 to 8 or 9 when they just visualize and they experience their specific, inspiring, and realistic GCSEs or A-levels or university-level grades at first, whatever it is they want to achieve in advance. It does go up when they visualize it and they experience that moment. Great. But for a huge amount of people, not all, I might add, there's about 20% of the population just it physically, this just doesn't work. This just isn't their thing. But to the other 80%, physical celebration of a goal. And you can do this to any extent. You can go absolutely nuts, or you can just, you know, a quick jump in the air, whatever. Celebrating physically in advance causes you to move faster and faster around the success cycle. And those students go up from 9 to a 10 plus out of 10. They really do, and it's fantastic to see. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do it when you've got someone else in the room. So, and I've done this with CEOs of companies, all sorts of people, and it's a great way to get yourself fully focused on what it is that you want to achieve. So what I'd say is, if there's any chance that you are in that 80%, try that out. Experience the results in advance physically. Experience it visually. Experience it in your mind. Be in that place. See yourself in that specific, inspiring, and realistic achievement, and step into you in that and experience that. Experience it visually, but also experience it with the 30-day challenge. Also experience it by writing it. And writing it codes it in your mind. There's a big reason why you probably don't have very many memories before the age of 2. And one of the biggest reasons is, well, the mind's not developed, but largely because before the age of 2, people don't have a proper grasp of language, most people. And language causes things to go much deeper into your memory. As I said at the beginning, you write things out and it makes things last 4 times longer. You speak things out and it makes things last 6 times longer. A fantastic way of remembering material. But by using the 30-day challenge, by writing it out, and I would advise you to then speak out your goals after as well, that's going to cause you to take way more action, have greater self-belief, take way more action, and get fantastic results. Okay, so there's a few different things that we've kind of set up an engine here, a motivation system for you. And it's all very well, a lot of people can kind of get that motivation system going. But there are a few things that will still pull people back. And I want to go through some of them today. There's not a huge amount of time left, but I'm going to go through some of them today and we'll see how far we get. First of all, there are things which can keep you on track. There is a way to keep yourself on track in a very steady, simple way, and it's not even going to take, 7 minutes a day, 7 goals. That's not even going to take a huge amount of time for you to do this. And it's a very, very powerful method of ironing out some of the little things that can hold you back, and adding in more of what helps you move forward. And it's called a When Life Works list. And a When Life Works list is very simple. It's a list of 10, 15, 20 things in your life where you kind of look back in your day and you kind of say, on your days when you've been successful and not been successful, and you do a study of yourself. Do a study of yourself and write down the things, and you're going to see it coming. It's so easy. A When Life Works list. Write down the things which help life work for you. When Life Works list. The things which get you moving. The things that you have a better day. There are days when you're just in the mode, you're just in the zone. And yes, you know, when you get the RAS moving and you use all of what we just spoke about, that's going to really, really contribute and it's going to drive you forward. But there are various different things that you know about yourself that you keep doing and you know they're not good for you and they pull you back, or you don't do, or you know that there are things that when you do them, they help you, but you just don't get around to doing them, largely because you're not advertising them to yourself. You're not keeping them in your short-term memory. You're not keeping them in your working memory. And you kind of say, well, I forgot to do that thing today or that thing today. The simplest way to deal with this problem and to really, really turn all engines on for yourself is this When Life Works list. So, you know, you can write all sorts of different things on this. I'm going to read out some of the things on my list that really help me move forward. And you might take some of them and they may be, you know, similar for you. And then there might be other ones which, when you observe your own life, that drive you forward. First thing I've got is writing life goals completed daily. Yeah. So what I mean by that is exactly what we said, the 30-day challenge, experiencing those in advance, writing them out. That helps me. Yeah. I have a better day when I do that. Have a small notebook on me to make lists all the time. Those lists, there's loads of little things that come up and you just don't get around to them, but they would have made the difference that made the difference. There's a thought, an idea, or maybe you got distracted by that thought and idea because you were so worried that you wouldn't remember it later, and then you missed out on something crucial, yeah, that you should have been focusing on, that would have been helpful. So that's very important to keep that. Well, that's something that helps me. Keep a journal of reflections, review them. There's health ones in here. Sugar for me is my kryptonite. Too much sugar, I'm not having a good day. Getting to bed on time. Did you know that people who get to bed before 12 o'clock end up with a higher IQ than those who get to bed after 12 o'clock? Very simple idea. Basically, the IQ drops. You lose some of your IQ points if you're not getting to bed on time. Listen to motivational recordings. Inspire and motivate someone. These are things that I love doing and get me moving. Write something inspirational. Things which cause creativity. These are good things to have on the list. But then there's also, you know, just, you know, various different physical things. Drink water first thing in the morning. Hydrate yourself. Get yourself going first thing in the morning. These are just a few things. And a very special one to me is get in flow with Nathanael. Nathanael's my son, and I love spending time with him. And losing all sense of time takes me completely, lifts my spirits and lifts my energy. So when I spend time with my little nearly three-year-old, Nathanael, and I just lose all track of time for even just a few minutes, that completely upgrades my day. Now, you can write your When Life Works list, and you can write 15 things, and you can end up getting really worried about it. Oh, I haven't done this thing today, I haven't done that thing today, this thing, that thing. But you'll find that if you just hit four or five or six things on your list, you'll have a much better day. Write your When Life Works list today or very, very soon. Make that list for yourself because that's going to make the difference. That makes the difference. It really will keep you on track and help you move forward. Okay. So I'm going to go to just a few more things that can cause people, even if they're motivated, even if they're driven, a few things that can still cause people to pull themselves back from success in all sorts of areas. One of them is in the social and emotional area, which is that they've got scripts. Yeah, and the scripts, their emotions are dictated by scripts, and they've got old scripts in their head which aren't serving them very well. Old scripts that are not serving them very well at all. Old stories which they tell themselves which are not serving them well at all. And these scripts are very important. Scripts you'll normally find if you're, you know, having a down or whatever, you'll find that there was something that happened in your mind which happened just before that, a script that went off. And if you can change those scripts, that's going to be key. simple way and approach to this, and you can send me an email to find out more information about this, david@davidbenjamincitron.com. And whilst I'm on that, please feel free to download the free gift at the bottom of my profile. And that's free success gift. It is a training video which will help you move forward, and it'll develop some of these ideas for you. So just getting back to script, the ABC approach, is basically comes from CBT, and it's like this. A is something that happened. You know, for instance, you made a mistake. Yeah, made a mistake. Well, that's the literal thing that happened, and that's perfectly fine. That's just literally what happened. B is a crazy statement that goes off in your head as a result. That could be something which is a pure assumption, which is, therefore, I'm an idiot. Therefore, I'm pathetic. Therefore, I'm a loser, whatever. Now, the problem is not statement A, I made a mistake. The problem is statement B. And statement B is a bloodsucker. It's an energy sucker. It takes away from your motivation. And you've got to change that script with a statement C. So you'll find that there are probably three or four of these statements that are pulling you down. They're like sucking out from your engines. They're a hole in the ship. They're driving out a lot of the capacity that you have to make serious change for yourself. And you need energy. You need to be on top of your game to move forward. So start changing just a few of these, and you'll find that you have changed a huge amount for your life, because it's the same ones that keep coming up again and again for most people. The next one in that area is change your F words. Change your F words. No, not what you're thinking about, but from failure to feedback. Change your F words from failure to feedback. You've got to find a way to see failure as feedback, and failure even as success, because failure is seen as success in many areas. You know, bench pressing, you know, you're pumping iron. Failure is success. You've got to bump up against the ceiling to see how far you can go. Again, but if you never try, you'll never know just what you're worth. You've got to bump against the ceiling to eventually bash through it. So you've got to fail your way to success. I've got a quick story that I'm going to finish up on with this. And you've got to, this is a fantastic story about the origins of KFC. And this guy, Colonel Kentucky, who you may have heard of, he started KFC, and he had these spices, and he really believed in them, and he liked them, and he went to five different restaurants, and they said no. They said, no, we're not taking your spices. And then he went to 10 restaurants, and they said no. 100 restaurants, no. Who would have given up at this stage? Everyone except for Colonel Kentucky. He went to 1,000 restaurants. They said, no, we're not taking this on. 1,006, no. 1,007, yes. And now KFC is spread all over the world. He kept on. He persisted. He kept on. He kept on moving forward. He changed this idea. You know, he may have changed the spices along the way. He may have improved them. He may have got feedback, etc. But he kept on moving forward. The key here is not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up again and keep moving forward. Quote from Rocky VI, you've got to get up again and keep moving forward, and you're only going to do that if you keep advertising to yourself, you keep driving yourself forward, you keep advertising that internal movie to yourself again and again and again, because the world's not going to believe it until you do. Yeah, you need to be absolutely certain in yourself. And in order to do that, you need to convince yourself. And advertising works to convince. We know that. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend millions. So you've got to get that going for yourself. Two people in a room, one person's certain and the other person is semi-certain. The one who is certain is always going to influence the one who is semi-certain. Studies done on that, and that works for sales as well. You've got to get yourself into a place of absolute certainty with your own goal, that you want it, that you're driven towards it in order to affect the world, in order to get other people to buy it, in order to have the resilience to get back up again and keep moving forward. We're going to finish now, and I just want to tell you about an event which is coming up very soon in Northwest London in Hendon. It is called Transform Your Life in a Day. Transform Your Life in a Day. It's on Sunday, the 19th of May. And if you're interested in going that, if you're in London, if you're around, please, it would be amazing to serve you and help you move forward with your own particular goals, with your own aims and goals in life. So be in touch about that if you're interested. It's David at davidbenjamincitron.com. All right. In the meantime, download your free gift, and it's been fantastic serving you. I'll see you next week. Not next week, in 2 weeks' time. This is a fortnightly show, and I'm looking forward to giving you as much as I possibly can every couple of weeks. So looking forward to doing that, and tune in 2 weeks' time, same time, for more inspiration. And in the meantime, our takeaways are the 30-day challenge and the When Life Works list. Get cracking on them and achieve something in between now and the next time I speak to you. Looking forward, it's been an absolute privilege speaking to you, and goodbye.